So the Gemara is bothered by the opening Mishnah. Ola ba'asa rovs the chomus ora, and there was spent a blot trying to define that word, and we finally came to the conclusion that it was never a machlokes. Finally came to the conclusion that the din is that the bedikas chomus takes place the night of the 14th. Elama. The Amoraim had different ways of saying night. As the Masor Sashas quotes from the Aruch, the Amoraim were sensitive to the question of the euphemism. Sometimes some Amoraim use euphemism. Some said night when they meant night, and some said day when they meant night. Some said Nagi when they really meant Levi. And then the Gemara said, look, of all these cases where the Tanaim used the word or, in the midnight, but as the Chiddush Aran points out, we saw yesterday at the end of Shir, we could be okay. It might be surprising that we use the term or to midnight. That might be surprising, but okay. Just like we just saw that different Amoraim had different dialects, so maybe different Tanaim had different dialects. Different Tanaim had different ways of expressing themselves. But we're really bothered, the Tana Didan, my time at Lokas Ani Leila, we're really bothered, but what's that our Mishnah? Our Mishnah, as the Chiddush Aran pointed out, why is our Mishnah the most troubling? Because it's the one that was taka unclear. In other situations, the Mishnah increases by Mapelas and Ori Burov and Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so it's clear in context, they chose to use the word art, they use the word art. Maybe it's a little bit curious, but it's not necessarily a kasha. But here, it was taka unclear. So unclear, they spent a block trying to figure it out. So that's taka tema. That's not just a curiosity. That's taka tzarafia. That's really a kasha. My time alone, Tana Didan, our Tana, Tana Shalanu. My time alone, Katani Leili. Why didn't our Tana say, as the parallel Brisa, Tana Devei Shmuel, does say, why didn't our Tana say, Leili Abbasa, Bokhut Kamas Alhanet? Because it's taka a question not just of curious word choice, but it's a question of clarity. It's a question of effective communication. We spent the whole block trying to figure out what it means. So the Gemara answers, the issue is Lishna Malia. It's an issue of refinement of speech. And the Gemara is about to go through a number of steps from Gimel of Aleph to Gimel of Beis in talking about Lishna Malia. So let's just first see the Gemara, try to chart it out, and let's do that together. Hope you're doing your own. Hope you're ready to bother by a couple of kashas. Let's put it out, and then let's start talking about the kashas. So the Gemara says, "The Tana Didan, my time alokas ani leili." How come? So he said, "The issue is lishna malihu denaka." It's an issue of lishna malihu. The Tana is trying to choose more delicate language, even at the cost of a lack of clarity. Ooh, Yishuv and Levi, like Yishuv and Levi say, what did Yishuv and Levi say? Let's see together, we'll put it on the board. No, Yishuv and Levi, Yishuv and Levi made a comment, this is the first memra that we're quoting about language. Yishuv and Levi said, you have to be very careful to avoid Dover Maguna. How do you know? Ikem HaKastav Shmona Osios Lahotzi Dover Maguna Mipim. The Torah added an extra 8 letters in order to avoid Dar Maguna. Where? Shenema min abehema, Torah min abehema, shenena tahor. So Yishuv and Levi quotes the Yishuv and Levi is a very, very early Amora, late Tana, early Amora, a junior, a Talmud or a Talmud Chaver of Yehuda HaNasi. So he says, Noach, Kadosh Baruch was giving Noach instructions about the animals. He didn't say Abahima Tameya, he said Abahima Asher Einana Tahor. Asher Einana. So Asher Einana, two added words, we swap in Tameya for Tahorah, and you have the added word Asher Einana. Asher Einana is 8 letters. Your Papa says it's 9. Where do you have 9? Ki Yibacha Isha Shalil Yah Tahor Mikre Loyla. A pasuk later in Chumash talking about someone who is a Balkari. Someone who is Motzi Zera over the course of the night. Doesn't matter whether it was Moed Hatzor Zera Vatala or an appropriate act of marital intimacy. Either way, he becomes a Tameh, he becomes a Valkyrie, and he needs to go to Mikvah to become Tahar. But the example the Torah gives specifically It is outside of the context of Maranatha. See? Mashallah Yatar Mikre Laila. He became, he was Motzi Zera while he was sleeping. So that's, so we could have said, Isha Shayya Tameh, Ish Tameh, instead of saying, Lo Yia Tar Mikre Laila. So I say, he's not Tar. So that's nine added letters. Asher, Lo Yia, 3 and 2 and 4 is 9. Ravina says, Aser. Why is it 10? Vav the Tar. The word Tar has next has a Vav. It's a four letter word. It could have been written Tameh. Okay. Rachmayak was a Sheish Asrei. I found another pasuk. This is a pasuk that should be familiar from which haftarah? From which haftarah? Who's this pasuk talking about? Yeah? Fantastic. Shai says, Machar Chodesh. Machar Chodesh. Fantastic. Machar Chodesh keeps coming up.
And the pasuk is Shaul talking about David.
Very good, Zach. Right. This is Shaul talking about David. Mikre hu bilti taharu kilotar. Very good. Jonas and I had made up with David. Here's a test. We're going to test to see how deep is the animus, the negative feelings, the hatred, potentially, that Shaul has towards David. So Yonos says, let's try a psychological experiment. It's supposed to, apparently, there's a big suda by the king of Rosh Chodesh, as we discussed earlier in the Rosh Chodesh suda.
2 days of Rosh Chodesh.
So he says, the first day, don't show up. He says, don't come to suda Rosh Chodesh. We'll see how my father reacts. So the second day he doesn't show up. So then Shaul starts asking questions, and Yonatan gives him the prepared story. David had asked for permission to not come to the royal feast, instead attend a family masiba, and Shaul flies into a fury, and it sounds like almost kills his own son, Yonatan, for having aided and abetted David, and that's what makes it very clear that David is still in mortal danger. But the first day, Shaul brushed it off and said, David didn't show up to the royal feast. He said, okay, maybe he's a Balkari. Maybe it's Balkari. We say maybe it's Balkari there for what? You have to remember, they were probably eating chulin b'tahar. Maybe they were eating truma. Maybe they had karbanos. So if you're Adam Tameh, you can't, as we said in the earlier sugya, a fellow wakes up in the morning, he's a Balkari. He can go to mikveh. He'll be a tful yom for the rest of the day, though. He's not going to be totally tahar. He said a tful yom is allowed to eat master sheni, but he's not allowed to eat truma. He's certainly not allowed to eat karbanos. So it could be they were serving karbanos, or they were just b'chol. They were careful about tumah v'tahara, which is a concept you see elsewhere in Shas, particularly in Maseches Chagiga, the notion of eating chulin b'tahara. There was this chumrah to maintain tahara even beyond the status that's necessary, to maintain tahara even eating chulin. So Shaul says, okay, so the first day he excused, in his mind, he excused David. It must be he woke up, he was a balkari. So he went to mikveh, he's a tful yom for the day, which is why Shaul expected David to show up the next day. Okay, the king of Al-Kari is full yom for the day, so he couldn't come to the daytime suit, but tomorrow he'll be tahar, tonight he'll be tahar. So when he didn't show up the second day, that's when Shaul was perturbed. But how did Shaul say it in the Haftar of Machar Chodesh? Ki amar mikrehu, bilti taharu ki lo tahar. Bilti taharu ki lo tahar. You could just say, tamehu. There's a tremendous amount of circuitous language, 16 letters. 16 letters. So that's the Yeshua ben Levi. We have the Kasha of Tana Didan. Why did we say R? And the answer was Lishnamalia. Apparently, to say Laila would be a lack of Lishnama. That's what it sounds like right now. Because after all, you have Yeshua ben Levi. In the memory of Yeshua ben Levi, who says you should avoid Davar Maguna. That's what Yeshua ben Levi said. You got to avoid Davar Maguna. And he and later Amoram gave a lot of examples. It basically has to do with avoiding the word Tameh. All the examples have to do with that. Different situations, again. In Chumash Bereishis, later in Chumash, and say for Shmuel, avoiding the word Tameh, even though you're Ikem HaKasuf. That was the language. Ikem HaKasuf. The Torah is Me'akim. If anyone here has actually been learning Yuval Erevin with the Daf Yomi, some of you are, so you might recognize the verb Ikem, Ayin Kuf Mem, and Akumumis is when something is bent. You have a road that doesn't go straight. We have a pipe that doesn't go straight. It's curved. It has curves in it. So that's an akmumis. It's ma'ukam. It's krum. So the Torah, here the Gemara says, Rishon Levi says, ikam akasta. The Torah went in a bent, and didn't say the straightest, simplest, shortest way. The Torah is willing to go longer and be circuitous and be rounded out.
Bend over backwards.
Bend over backwards. Bend over backward to avoid the word tummy, to avoid the davar maguna. And then the Gemara moves on to talk about Tandavei Rishra, the second source. Number two, Tandavei Rishma. Well, Tandavei Rishma said? Tandavei Rishma says what? A Jew should always speak in a clean way. How do you know? Sharei Bezav Kiro, Merkav V'Isha Kiro Moshe. Because after all, because what's Merkav and Moshe all about? So first is the brief halachic background. We've spoken about Ava Tuma and Vlada Tuma. We've spoken about a certain Ayin which are Tamei. A Metzora is Tamei. A Nida is Tamei. A Mace is inherently Tamei. Mace is a special case. Nevela, Sheretz, and so on and so forth. There are various people and various items which are Tamei because of who or what they are. Ava Tuma, a source of Tuma. And then you can also have situations where the something is tummy, not because of who or what it is. I'm not a dead mouse, but I touch the dead mouse. So the dead mouse is a sharetz is an avatuma, and I touch it, I become a rishonatum. Right? Or I didn't want to pick up the dead mouse myself, so I had a broom and a dustpan, and I swept it up. I was feeling a little queasy about picking up the mouse by its tail, understandably so. So I got a broom and a dustpan, and I swept it up, and I tossed it out. So the dustpan, the broom, got to figure out if they are kalim hamakablim tumah. We have 29 prakim maseches kalim about what are the rules for different materials, which kli is makabel tumah. If it's plastic, it's probably not makabel tumah. But if I have, let's say, a metal dustpan, I swept the dead mouse into the metal dustpan. The dead mouse is an avatumah, and the dustpan became a rishon tumah. You want to have a tahor dustpan? Why do you want to have a tahor dustpan? Okay, not sure. You want to have a tar dustpan, so you have to take your dustpan to mikvah, and it'll be a tful yom for the day. And at that tesei kacham, you have a beautifully tar dustpan. Okay. So that's a din of avatumah and then vladatumah, right? And again, while you want your dustpan to be tahar, probably not taking your dustpan to the Beis HaMikdash, but then you worry if food touches your tamei dustpan, the food becomes a shelatumah. Again, why is food touching your dustpan? Also a good question, but such is life. Okay. So that's with the dustpan. That's with the dustpan. Let's say you have an adam tamei, a metzora, a zav, a nida. So the metzora, the zav, the nida picks up this pen, touches this pen, so the pen becomes the metzora, the zav, the nida is an avatuma. You touch the pen becomes a rishon l'tuma. How about if instead the zav sits down in a chair like this? Nice and comfortable. So what's the status of the chair? What would you say? Tummy, right? How tummy you'd think? Well, the zav is an avatumah. You sit down the chair is a rishonal tumah, right? Or let's say the zav goes canoeing, right? The zav goes canoeing. So he hops in a boat, and he canoes, he kayaks, paddles down the river. So you would think that if the canoe is a kli, it could be a kli makabel tumah, made of metal, made of wood. Okay, so the zav is a avatuma, and the canoe or the chair becomes a rishon tumah. Says the Torah. Actually, here's a special chiddush. Here's a special chiddush of mishkav u'moshav. Things that are meant for lying down, or things that are meant for sitting on, or merkav, things that are meant for riding on, like a saddle, or maybe a bike. So a kli, more generally we call that medras. The Torah talks about mishkav and moshav, the Tanakh talk about medras. Mem dal reish samach. To be do reish is to step. So something that's meant for holding up your weight. If you have a chair, that's meant for sitting on. You have a bed, meant for lying down on. You have a canoe, which is meant for sitting on. Or you have a saddle, it's meant for riding on. So in Kalim, they are made for Mishka v'moshav. Kalim that are made for Mishkav Umoshav are actually become an Av HaTumah. If the Tumah doesn't step down, if the Zav sits on the chair is also an Av HaTumah. If the Zav lies down the bed is also an Av HaTumah. It's a special Chiddush of Mishkav Umoshav, Merkav, of Medrus. Medrus. That's the Tanam uses the word Medrus. The Chumash Mishkav Umoshav. You open the Rambam and say for Tahara, he has a section called Metame Mishkav Moshe, like the Zav and so on and so on. That's what's unique about the Zav and some of the other Tanaim. Here's the question though. How come, the Gemara wants to know, the Zav Kuro Merkav, the Isho Kuro Moshe? When the Torah talks about the Zav, Rashi quote near the bottom of the Yomas. The Zav Ksiv, call Merkav Asher Yerkav Olav. Talks about something that the Zav rides upon with his legs apart. That's how you ride on something. That's how you ride an animal. That's how you ride a bike. Well, the Ishak said, all Kli Asher he Yosheb Asalav. Why didn't the Torah, when talking about the Zava, why did the Torah talk about Merkav? The same way you talk about Merkav by the male Zav. Why not say Merkav by the female Zava? So Rashi explains. Falling to the bottom. Fishain Hogun Lahazkir Rechiva Ufisuk Ragayim Beisha. It's a little bit inappropriate to speak about the woman riding a horse or riding on a saddle with legs apart. That's slightly inappropriate to discuss. Alpha Pisha Merkav Moshav Shavim Bishneim. Even though they have the same halachas, Merkav and Moshav. Some of the other Rishon point out not exactly the same halachas. There are slight differences in American emotion, but basically the same basic concept of Medrus, again, that Medrus Hazav, Medrus Hazava, Mishkav, Merkav, Moshe, the Kli HaMeyuchad LeMedrus actually becomes an Av HaTumah. So why the Torah not describe it by the woman as Merkav? Because it's not Lashon Nakim. It's not more appropriate. Be more appropriate to speak of Moshe sitting as opposed to riding. Yeah, question.
I thought there's also a difference. I thought the difference is that the preferred way is for a woman to sit on an animal with both legs on the same side of the animal. So it's not just like it is one is better walking than the other, but it's better walking with one is a different mice and it's better mice than the other. But that's why the Gemara then says like. So why sometimes with a woman sitting a certain way, and why the bus is hanging out, so he's swinging. But the issue is not supposed to be using the words, it's why would somebody sometimes do something inappropriate? So the Torah is using a bad word, because so why is that a bad word?
Okay, good. Right, so Akiva's pointing out, the language obviously has to do with what's more appropriate language has to do with what's more appropriate reality. And traditionally women would usually ride side saddle, so they could sit off the side instead of sitting, as Rashi puts it, the Tisuk Raglayim. Instead of one side, each side of the horse. And Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos of the Yom, discusses what we just talked about. There are some differences of dinim between Merkav and Moshe. So what Tosfos points out is, but the Torah relies on a riboy to imply that there's a din of Merkav by Zava, by the female Zava, whereas by Zav, the Torah speaks about Merkav explicitly. And the fact that the Torah doesn't speak explicitly about Merkav and Isha, it could happen. And there are dinim, and there are, again, it's that slightly different dinim for Merkav and Moshe, both by Zav and by Zava. But by the Zav, the Torah chose to speak of Merkav explicitly in the Torah Shebech Zav. But the Zava is just implied through a riboy, so that's what Tosfos points out, Shaharei, Isha Kro Moshe Meribuya the Kro. By the Zava, by the female Zava, we learn of Merkav from a riboy by the sugya of Moshe. Limadnu, limidanu hakasav l'saper b'lashon nekiyah. The Torah is modeling for us to speak in a refined way. Shalokis avav ehetek avazav, because the Torah did not choose to just to discuss Merkav explicitly as it does by Zav. You're saying there's also a layer, Akiva, of Dibra Kasav Beholve. Right, the Torah does give examples that are typical. That's something Chazal pointed out. But we do need to talk about both Merkav and Moshe, especially since, as Tos points out, they do have slightly, there are mild differences in the dinim. And the Torah does speak about Merkav and Moshe by Zava, but it doesn't name Merkav explicitly. It's based on a riboy. So why did Torah choose to be only marbe, only imply Merkav by Zava, but say it explicitly by the Zav? It says to train us, to model for us this sensitivity to Lashinaki. Again, back in the Gemara, Tagevei Rishmal, Om Yisapra Adam Lashon Akil. Why? Shai B'Zav Kol Merkav, Yishak Kol Moshe. This difference of language, whether the Torah, by Zav, the Torah chooses to speak about Merkav explicitly, by the Zava, it's only implied. Ve'omer, then Tagevei Rishmal had two more psukim. V'Sivchar Lashon Arumim, V'Das V'Asai Barum Olov. Two psukim, I tell you on the side, both from Eels, that speak about the importance of choosing refined language. The Sivchar Lashon Arum, you should choose the language of the wise. Das Vasai Barum Lalo. The Rashi points out that your melel, which is Aramaic for speech, by Daber and Zumalil, the way your molel, the way you speak, is Barur. It's choice, it's chosen. Lashon Borer, the Malacha Borer. You choose your language. You don't just say whatever. My Omer, it's supposed to the Gemara to know why you have to have the Arab Sufi, you already had a Raya. The Gemara explained, the fact that the Torah chose this language is not a Raya Brua, maybe a Kaddish Baruch. It's one thing when it's in the Chumash. Another thing about me. Do I have to speak that way? Maybe just the Hakpad and the way Chumash was written. But maybe Bidrabana not. Maybe Ava Bidra Baran Lo. Maybe Chazal don't have to be so careful. So that's what the Gemara says. That's what the Bryce said a second, but if this is Karl Sharim, you should choose the language for wisdom. Then the Gemara says, okay. And why do you need the third pasuk? Das Vasai Barum Lo. The Chitay Mayim Mimi Drabanan. Maybe it's when it's Lashon Arumim. Yeah, you're dealing with the language of wisdom. The Chacham are telling you a din. They're telling you a teaching of Zaira. So I would think, okay, in Shir. Let's put it this way. In Shir, when you learn the base mandras, you have to be careful how you speak. The Hamamil Dialma. It's not Lashon Arumim. We're not talking and learning. Stam schmoozing with a friend. Stam schmoozing with a friend. Stam posting something. So I have to be careful even there, outside the base mandras, outside of a Talmud Torah context. It's not Bidur Abonim. No one's writing a Mishnah. It may be even, I'm not even a private citizen. I'm not even talking and learning. Stam Mil Dialma. Mundane things. How careful they have to be. So many people make that mistake. Many people, Baruch Hashem, are at least sensitive to the need for propriety in the Beis HaMedrash, in the shul, in a holy context, but bifurcating their minds and think, yeah, okay, in the Beis HaMedrash you got to be careful. But I'm stopping to hack around my friends, so then anything goes. Or at least I can have a lower standard. The Mil Diyam alone. So that the Amoron were aware of that mistake in Havanah. You might think, in Tyra you have to be careful. In the Alma you could be looser, you could take more liberties. That's why they added that third pasuk. The Omer Das Fasai Barur Milalo. That's not about Lashon Arum, that's not about learning. That's not, this is the way you speak. Barur Milalo. Your speech has to be chosen. Your speech has to be selected. It has to be a Malachas Borer. Barur, that's the Malachas Borer that goes into the way that you speak. So that was the second chunk. It's this Tagvei Rishmal that talks about Lashon Nekiya. That sounds like the same thing. Rishmal Levi said, don't use Lavdav Raguna. Tagvei Rishmal said, you should use Lashon Nekiya. What were the examples? Merka versus Moshe. And then the psukim from Eov. Some guys were asking why, some chavurim were asking why the psukim from Eov any better raya than the pasuk from Chumash. That's also Tanakh. Kasha. Yeah, what's a kasha? Kasha? No kasha. I'll tell you a kasha. So some chavra asking during Seder, why is, if after I have the first pasuk, what would you say? After I have the first pasuk, the Gemara says, how do I, we just saw, how come I need all these new pasuk? Well, the first pasuk I could have imagined, it's only in Chumash. Hey, be the Rabbanan, or b'mil the Alma, I don't have to be so careful. So what's the point of bringing pasukim from Eels? So that's right, they're part of the Tanakh. Why is that a better raya? This is a good kasha, this is a kotz kasha. What do you say? Yeah, the Gemara asked, why did you bring three pesukim? The Gemara's answer was, well, the first part is correct. But the Gemara's answer was, well, the first, the first part is, oh yeah, it's only in Tanakh, only in Torah. But maybe outside of Torah, I have to be careful. So what's gained by the latter two pesukim? Very good. Yeah. Very good. Correct. Eov is not examples. Eov is direct tzivui. This is the first time, and that's very important. This is the first time I actually have a tzivui. It's not just notice the way the Chumash is wording it. This sivchar, that's why it helps to look up the pasuk, or if you have a handy dandy newfangled Gemara that has the entire pasuk in the side, the Torah or Hashali with Nekudos, this sivchar, not vatibchar, this sivchar is Lashem Asid. You should choose. You should, this is direct tzivui. This is the first time the Gemara is actually presenting command. Very good. Excellent, you're on the ball. Ooh. Oh. Very good. A good kasha, a good answer. The Gemara asks us at the beginning of Bava Kamma in a few places. How do we learn a din? Ad the Asi Yecheskel, I'll tell you. Have you learned a din from Yecheskel? Until Yecheskel showed up, where did the din come from? Where did the din come from? The Nevi'im, as the Gemara points out in the Gilad Beis, Nevi'im were not empowered to teach us new dinim. You can't get a new din Mikalach Nevuah. That's one of the Ikari Emuna. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us up front, during the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he's not planning to uproot or change anything that he taught for Moshe via Nevuah. That's why we reject Christianity and Islam, who both claim that their prophets superseded Moshe Rabbeinu. We reject that on its face. The Gemara says, how do you ever learn a din from Nevi'im and Ksuvim? Ad Asa Yechezkel, Ad Asa Yeshaya. Before the now, where did it from? Where was it then from originally? So the Gemara has several answers to that type of question. Sometimes we'll say that the Navi isn't really teaching me a din. Sometimes they say, I need to figure out how to translate a word so I can use a pasuk in the Tanakh and Nevi'im and Ksuvim as a proof to how to translate the word. I could have, if I would have found some secular inscription from the days of Chizkiyahu, I could also use that to figure out how Hebrew works. It's just a question of just a dictionary issue. And the Gemara says, just the Gyu and Milsa the Alma. We just want to know what the word means. We want to know what was happening. The puzzle is not teaching me a din. And what that means is the din actually comes from a pasuk in the Chumash, but I need to figure out how to interpret the pasuk in the Chumash. I can use the pasuk in the Nevi'im to tell me how to translate the word. It's just a giluy, and I don't understand the pasuk in the Chumash. And sometimes the Gemara says, maybe it was the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, which was recorded and historically recorded in a sefer of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. For instance, Megillas Rus describes many dinim. Among them, Kinyan Chalipin. They want to seal the deal that Boaz is taking over the rights to be Goel Rus and to be Goel the fields, to buy back the fields into the family. So what king do they use to seal the deal? What king do they use? Who remembers? A little bit of a Tanakh. The key is here. The Sholach. Anyone? Anyone holding a Rus? He does something pretty colorful. Boaz, one of them takes off a shoe. And the Sholach is now of Anasim L'Reim. He takes off a shoe. He hands the other guy a shoe. The chef likes to point out, one of them he showed him says, now there maybe is a glove. A little more polite. Take off your glove. You've seen it at a chasna. You hand over a handkerchief, you've seen it at Dikas Chametz. Hand over the handkerchief, hand over the pen. make a kinyan chalipin by handing over a kli to signify that the deal is sealed. So that kinyan chalipin, where it comes from, pasuk in Rus. So either it means it's a din drabanan, and it's mentioned in pasuk in Rus, or it's a din daraisa, it's a lachamoshim Sinai, which happened at the time of Rus. So it's recorded in the pasuk in Rus. So here, what are you going to say here? So that's what Tzuli says. You're asking, the Kibbutz, you're asking, how you learn a din from a pasuk in Nevi'im? Or in this case, the pasuk in Ksuvim, pasuk in Iyov. It says in Iyov, you know you should do. So what? And so Tzuli says, maybe it's a being Megala, it's just making more explicit what the Torah already implies. The Torah already implies, you gotta be careful. You see all these Tzuli, when the Torah is mouthing for us, in case you didn't get the message, in case you thought, oh, that's just in Chumash, that's not me. I'm not Chumash. So here makes it clear. But right, the answer is just being a gala, that's shot in the past of the
But then it's not a command. Because there are certain times, like right now, so there's no siva that is going on, but certain times, like when the puzzle of Sobro Shavuot Yitzharos, that builds into the mitzvah that it applies to women all. So that's building off of something, even though it's from now. So here, there's a theme, like those books, like themes in the
book. Sakiva is asking, may I see in the Chumash that there's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Chumash, he's being careful to avoid Lashon Meguna. He's being careful to use Lashon Naki. Right? But how do I know, where does it say that I should do that? Great question. Where does it say that I should do it? Who knows the answer to that?
But
the Hakdama, we saw a pasuk in the Hakdama to Mesil Sisharim. Answer this question.
Good. But it's not an obvious thing. If I say something bad,
what'd you say?
It's something you should do in terms of the last
midrash
and
the last midrash.
But if I were to say something bad, I wouldn't need to go bring a karma the next day.
That's true, because the last midrash is a mitzvah saseh, and you don't have to bring a carbon for violating mitzvah saseh. Neither do you have to bring a carbon if you didn't put on tefillin one day. But if I didn't put on tefillin one day, or if I ate a meal, I had a full lafa, the chalta v'savata, mamish. And then I, rachman l'tzlan, I forgot to bench. So I violated mitzvah seidaraisa. As chai me'atayra, I had even a half a lafa. Split with a friend of probably, for most people, that's kedei sviya. Certainly a full lafa, it definitely Kedei Sviya, maybe it's even Achila Gasa, Keish Laim. But, so I had Bechalta Besavata, so I'm Chayv to bench. I didn't bench, Rahman Salon, I went to sleep. And I wake the next morning, Gevald, I didn't bench. So I don't get Malchus, I don't bring a carbon, it was a mitzvah say, but I violated the din. Yeah, exactly, you nailed it. You said exactly what it is. This is Valach Tzadraf. We're watching the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses himself. And that models for us. Well, I need evidence in the Chumash that Kadosh Baruch Hu was careful. And then Eel.
If I didn't have any tzukim in Eel, we would still be able to learn the same exact thing.
Correct, but I could have made a mistake. So my Omer is, why do you have to hop with more tzukim? And the answer is, to make it clear, you shouldn't misunderstand the first one. You might have misunderstood that it was only Bidaraisa. It's only learning.
So I have three and not two in Eel.
Because the second one might have only implied when you're talking learning yourself. The third pasuk makes good even mili the alma. Now we are short on time. So let's sketch where we're going from here, and let's leave it with several kashas. The Gemara is first going to handle the details about Merkav and Moshe. The first, the Gemara is going to have a number of cases where he does lashon rechiva by women, and the Torah, the girl is going to ask, you have all these psukim that do use rechiva. So how come? Well, even if it doesn't apply in the faith, the girl explains that all of them are exceptional cases. They're cases where it would be appropriate for her to ride a piece of gedayim because it's a dangerous situation. It's nighttime, you're on a hill, so on and so forth. So it's appropriate to do and therefore appropriate to describe. But then the Gemara says, we can deal with other cases of rechiva, but what do we do with other cases of Tamei? You found a few places in Tanakh where we avoid Tamei. But the word Tamei shows up, look in the Concordantia. 50 times, 100 times, 200 times, I don't know. Loads of times in Tamei. The word Tamei appears so many times. It's not as though the Chumash never says the word Tamei. You have a few exceptional cases where we avoid Tamei. So the Gemara appears to reject that whole idea and says, well, ultimately the Gemara says, the Gemara seems to say, that Kitsara, that it isn't valuable to speak with Kavod, Derech Kavod, but it's more valuable to speak Derech Kitsara. So if it's short, if it's equally short, so choose the more respectful way. If it's not equally short, so then choose the shorter way. And this leaves us, Rabbi Yisai, with several kashas. And I will leave you for today with several kashas to mull over. Number one, we have a lot of details in this sugya. And it Lashon Naki, the same as that Raguna, how do you understand it? Number two, that's one problem, just how do you make sense of all the details in the sugya? Another problem is Kasha Seifa L'Reisha. The Reisha seems to come to the conclusion, the Seifa the Reisha seems to come to the conclusion that Derech Kavod is nice, but Derech Kitzara is more important. And that's why 95% of the time the Torah does use the word Tamei, which of course then raises the question, but didn't we start by pointing out three times when we are Ikim HaKasa? So make up your mind. Do we, in the hierarchy, do we triage and prioritize Kitzara over Kavod or not? And finally, question number three, going back to the very beginning, is how has any of this answered? How did the answer the Kasha? The kasha was, why do you say or instead of Milo? So what was the answer? Davar Maguna, Lashon Naki. Something so Maguna about or? Something so Maguna, about Milo? And specifically, the Kitzara, the whole sugi is hard to understand. So we're going to commit something next time. The Ba'amar and other Rishonim are going to deal with both the question of how you transition from Risha to Sefer the sugi, and how all this piles back into the opening kasha of Or.